Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to a solo BuzzPod. Unfortunately, Trev is under the weather at the moment, so I just thought I'd do something quickly to have a pod out this weekend while he's recovering. Hopefully, he'll be back for the next one. Right. Nothing really planned. Thought I'd have a look at what I'm watching at the moment and chat about that a little bit. And then also take a look at the upcoming movies for this year, the upcoming TV shows for this year, and see what's out there. So the two things I'm primarily watching are Ballykiss Angel, because I'm a nostalgic twat, and Formula One Drive to Survive on Netflix. So I'm watching Ballykay with my missus, and we are on season 5 of the show. Now, these are short seasons. 6 episodes in season 1, 8 in season 2. There are 12 in 3, 4, and 5, and then 8 in season 6. And I have to say, I'm really, really enjoying watching this. I remember watching it as a kid, and it was a massive deal in Ireland when it was on. It was broadcast originally by the BBC, and it was set in a rural Irish village, and it was basically just what life is like in a rural Irish village. It was Ireland's answer to Emmerdale in some ways. It centres largely around a pub called Fitzgerald's. The main cast in the early seasons, the leads were Dervla Kerwin as Assumpta Fitzgerald, who owned Fitzgerald's pub, and Stephen Tomkinson as Father Peter Clifford, the parish priest who moves to Ballykiss Angel from England. And there's a dance around these clear feelings that he has for Assumpta, that Assumpta has for him. And unfortunately, the way things work out, they just don't manage to make it happen. Both Dervla Kerwin and Stephen Tomkinson left after season 3, though it's worth noting both of them were absent for large parts of season 3. Tina Kelleher plays Niamh Quigley. She is in the show throughout, and she is very, very good. Niall Tobin is also in, a famous Irish comedian from the, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s. He plays another priest, Father Frank McAnally. There's some really, really good performances in this show. Gary Whelan as Brendan Kearney, the local teacher, the local curmudgeon, very, very good. Deirdre Donnelly as the local vet, Siobhan Mehigan. She is excellent in this show. You get Tony Doyle as Brian Quigley, giving another really strong performance. This is as the sort of the local business tycoon. If you think of like a nicer version of Mike Baldwin in Corrie back in the day, where he's a bit of a spoofer, he's got some money. He portrays himself as having more than he has. There's some underhandedness to him. That's him. But beneath it all, he's got a good heart and he does care about his family in the town. You've got great comic relief provided by Birdie Sweeney as Eamon Byrne, by Joe Savino as Liam Coughlan and Frankie McCafferty as Donald Doherty. Those three are all very, very good. Donald Doherty and Liam Coughlan play almost like, imagine an Irish version of the Chuckle Brothers. It's kind of like that. Birdie Sweeney is an old farmer, Eamon Byrne, who's just quite cynical about a lot of things, but has great delivery. You've got Bosco Hogan as Michael Ryan, Peter Caffery as Padraig O'Kelly, and one of my favourite characters in the show is Ambrose Egan, played by Peter Hanley, who's the local guard. And I named Ambrose Egan in my top 10 all-time TV cops. In the later seasons, Victoria Smurfit comes into it. Kate McInerney comes into it. And Colin Farrell comes into it. Now, at the time, Victoria Smurfit was definitely the biggest of the three names coming into it. But obviously, Colin Farrell and what he's gone on to do, clearly the biggest name ever associated with this show. He had done some film work playing, you know, uncredited roles or guys in the background or whatever. This was his really big break. And he's in 18 episodes during his time in the show. And he's really, really good. He's really, really good as Danny Byrne, who's a dub, who's looking to escape Dublin for a couple of different reasons. And he moves down to live with his uncle, who is Eamon Byrne, played by Birdie Sweeney. And you've got this young, toe-raggy dub against this older, harmless but cynical farmer who's never left the local area and sees the world in a very small way. And it's just a really good relationship and a really good juxtaposition of the two different things. The show is set in Avoca, which is a real village in County Wicklow. It's a very, very picturesque village. And if you're ever in Ireland and wanting to see some of the prettier parts of Ireland, I highly recommend Wicklow as your first stop as you come out of Dublin. And I do recommend a visit to Avoca. Other parts of it are set in Enniskerry, which is another very, very pretty village in Wicklow, also worth your while taking a trip there if you have the time and you are making an adventure around Ireland to see, you know, what the fuss is all about. Very much enjoying it. It's nice to watch something that's, you know, pleasant and easy and just nostalgic and reminds you, obviously some of it is, you know, hammed up a little bit. But it does remind me quite a lot of growing up in rural Ireland and what it was like. And it's cool to see, you know, the cars of the time and the clothes of the time and how god-awful some of them were. But then also just other, you know, other bits and bobs that pop up. Like there's oftentimes there's a newspaper just shown, somebody's reading it, and you see a headline and it makes you remember something that was going on at the time. So very much enjoying that. And it's hard to find. It might not be something that you can find. I don't think the BBC iPlayer has it, but maybe it does. I had to buy the box set and paid through the nose for it, but well worth doing and well worth watching because I've very much enjoyed it. Then by myself, I'm watching Drive to Survive. Now, I really liked Formula One back in the 90s because it felt really competitive. And then, you know, Schumacher won a bunch of them. And then it's a few years where it seemed competitive. And then Vettel won a bunch. And then Hamilton won a bunch. And now, obviously, Max Verstappen has won three in a row. And I kind of don't find it interesting anymore. It's very clear whoever has the best car will win. It's no longer about who the best driver is, which it always felt like back in the 90s, you know, when Schumacher was winning with Benetton, when Alain Prost was winning, when Ayrton Senna was winning, when Nigel Mansell was winning, when Damon Hill was winning. It felt like these were actually the best drivers, that there was a lot more parity between the cars. But I will say, this show is brilliant. It is genuinely fantastic. It's really well put together. It's a really good behind-the-scenes look at some of the world of Formula One. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff they can't show or they're not given access to. But just seeing a lot of the relationships, both within teams and between teams, and the rivalries that exist, not just between the drivers, but between the team principals. And oftentimes, the drivers are on much more friendly terms than the team principals. Like, for example, the team principals of McLaren and Red Bull don't get on at all. But yet, Lando Norris and Max Verstappen seem very, very friendly. Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, not so much, but Lewis is friendly with most of the other drivers, whereas Toto Wolff is quite adversarial towards a lot of them. Like, definitely sees himself being above a lot of them, definitely views his team as, you know, above, well, everybody, and that's his job, and that's fine. But there's also interesting things like, you know, some of the day-to-day lives of some of these drivers, and, you know, how they find out that they're being replaced, and drivers getting late in the season and not having a seat in a car for the following year, and what that can be like. And Daniel Ricciardo's obviously been one of the pivotal figures in it, and he obviously starts off the series driving for Red Bull. Then he moves to Renault. They pay big money to get him to come to Renault. They start building a team around him, and then he bounces and goes to McLaren, who've also paid big money to bring him in. But then it doesn't go well with McLaren. And obviously, Lando Norris is one of the up-and-coming superstars in Formula One. And there's this kind of battle behind the scenes, not necessarily between the drivers one-to-one, but certainly what the drivers, especially Lando Norris, is saying to the team. So Daniel Ricciardo is out, and all of a sudden Daniel Ricciardo doesn't have a car to drive the following year. No team picks him up. He ends up going, as I've just watched, to become the third driver for Red Bull, which he's not really a driver. He's basically a marketing tool. He turns up at events, he takes pictures, all the rest. And because he's a big name, it was working well for Red Bull, but obviously Red Bull own two teams. And the other team, their secondary team, AlphaTauri, they're not performing as well as expected. So a decision is made midway through a season to get rid of a driver that they'd only just hired, and bring on board Daniel Ricciardo as the driver for that team. So he has gone from being the number two driver at Red Bull to taking a step down in terms of team, but being the number one at Renault, then probably a sideward step or maybe even a little step down to go to McLaren. But McLaren is McLaren, and there's prestige in that, and there's always going to be a draw, I think, for drivers to go to teams like McLaren. And I think Williams, if they can get themselves set, and obviously they've been sold during the season, so if they can get themselves competitive, they'll have name recognition, brand recognition, and they'll be able to attract drivers. Like, for me, growing up, the four teams that I prominently remember, obviously Ferrari.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
McLaren and Williams. And Jordan, because they were owned by Eddie Jordan. They were an Irish team based in England, but they were an Irish team. So they were the team that you keep an eye on, and they obviously produced a lot of good drivers over the years and had some very successful seasons. But now, Jordan are gone. McLaren and Williams, who'd been always competing for world titles, are no longer competing for world titles. And while McLaren are one of the better teams in what's called the mid-table, below the big three of Red Bull, Mercedes and Ferrari, it's sort of them with competition now coming from the Aston Martin team, who've been through a bunch of iterations. They are actually direct lineage. Aston Martin are Jordan. It's just that at one point their license was allowed to lapse, and therefore they don't have the proper lineage. But you can trace them back to Jordan. Their owner is a very interesting character, Lawrence Stroll, Canadian billionaire, who's made his money in the fashion industry. His son is obviously Lance Stroll. Comes across as a bit of a jackass, does Lawrence. But then there's moments where you can take a shine to him, like when his son breaks both wrists in a biking accident. And you can see there's real concern for his son. And you can see that the real reason he's doing this and he's trying to build the best team possible is for his son. He doesn't need the stress. He doesn't need the hassle. But this is what his son wants to do. He wants to be a Formula One world champion. And then you've got Alpine, who are the rebrand of Renault. Those are the middle tier teams. And then below that, you've got Williams struggling away in one of the seasons, I think two of the seasons, they don't take any points at all. But they're a breeding ground for talented young drivers. It's where George Russell came through. Obviously, he now drives for Mercedes. So it's just interesting to see like the career arc of some of these drivers, especially these younger drivers, and see them getting their start and see just how excited they are to be driving in Formula One. But then also see how harshly treated they can be at certain teams. And Red Bull are the harshest of the harsh. Like Pierre Gasly, who now drives for Alpine, clearly a super talented driver. He was driving for the secondary Red Bull team, gets called up to drive for Red Bull when Daniel Ricciardo leaves, gets a handful of races and is immediately out of the picture and relegated back down to the second team. And he's had to work his way back up now to getting a pretty good seat with Alpine. And then Nyck de Vries is a highly regarded young driver brought in with, you know, a big reputation in sort of Formula 2 and such. He gets 10 races and he's out because he's not performing. And it just shows the standard and the demands that are placed on these drivers. And it shows the demands as well that they place on themselves, because you can see with Lewis Hamilton just how devastated he is at having a bad season after winning whatever it was, 6 world titles in a row. You can see how hard he's taking it when his car just isn't anywhere close to the Red Bull. And then he starts to realize that it's not actually all that competitive with the Ferraris. Where I am in season 6, he's found that he can't keep pace on the straights with the McLarens. And you can see that getting frustrated. And obviously, as we know, he will leave Mercedes at the end of this year and he will join Ferrari. And he will take the seat of Carlos Sainz, who's another kind of central character in this. And you get to see a lot of his journey and what's happened to him, where he's been shoved out of more than one team, despite being a very talented driver. So it's just really good. And like, you know, I started watching it only a few weeks ago, and like there's only 10 episodes per season. So it's easy to watch 2 or 3 episodes a night. But when I started watching it, I think the news had just come out that Christian Horner was under investigation for inappropriate conduct. And he does just seem like a terrible set of lads, like an absolutely terrible set of lads is what he comes across in pretty much every interaction he has with everybody, except for Daniel Ricciardo, who he seems to have a really soft spot for, and Verstappen, who he seems in awe of. Everybody else he kind of treats almost with contempt. And then you see him with his with his missus, who's obviously Jerry Halliwell of the Spice Girls, and she's in it a few different times, and his children from both his relationship with Jerry and from before. And he just seems like a different guy, and he, you know, there's a decency to him there. You can tell that Jerry definitely very much wears the trousers in that relationship. And shout out to Jerry Halliwell, who looks better now than she ever did in the Spice Girls, despite being in her 50s now. So it's just interesting because all of this is going on now, and you're watching this season, and every time he's on the screen, all I can think of is like, you're being investigated for being a dickhead. So, you know, it is very interesting. Obviously, as the new season has begun in terms of the 2024 Formula One Championship, season six, which covers the 2023 Championship, has just landed. So you're watching this all the while knowing what's going on now, and you're seeing, you know, drivers with certain teams thinking, oh, you're not with them now. Or in the case of Hamilton, God, you seem really committed to Mercedes, but I know that in the next off season you're leaving, or you're going to tell them you're leaving to go to Ferrari and whatever. It's actually riveting. It's really good TV, and I'll watch most things like this, like any kind of sports documentary that's behind the scenes and gives you a little bit of a view into the broader thing, rather than just stuff that's like, you know, that's fluff, like what we're going to get with the Man City documentary. All or Nothing, again, it's a little bit fluff. I'll watch them, but you know, you're not getting a great view behind the scenes because the clubs have so much control over the final cut. Whereas things like Hard Knocks, is HBO has final say on those, and those are great. And like, I love things like, you know, the 30 for 30 series. I'll watch any and all of them that are on. I'll watch most sports documentaries. I've watched a bunch of stuff on, like, I watched the All or Nothing on the cricket team, which I wouldn't have any real interest in at all, but I really enjoyed watching it. I don't watch cricket, but I watched that and found it really interesting because you get kind of a behind the scenes look about what goes into planning a cricket, you know, squad and a match and all the rest. And I watched that, what's it called? Is it Full Swing? Is that the name of the tennis? No, that's the golf one, is Full Swing. I actually haven't watched that yet, but I did watch the first season and a bit, or I think the first season a bit, of the tennis show on Netflix, and I quite enjoyed a lot of that as well. For the life of me, though, I can't remember what the name of it is. Let me just Google it. Tennis show Netflix. Breakpoint. Yeah, Breakpoint. And it's actually, I didn't realize that. It's the same team that are actually doing Drive to Survive. Oh, I've only watched a season of it. No, I have watched a season and a half. The first season came out in the second season came out in January of this year. And I did watch about half of it. I must get back to that actually once I finish this. But yeah, so that's what I'm watching at the moment. And I'm really enjoying both of them, and they're totally different things. So it's fun. I'm also very much looking forward to getting stuck into Chicago Fire and Chicago PD, which have been running since January. They are shortened seasons this year because of the strikes that were going on with the writers and whoever else. So I think 13 episodes rather than the usual 20, 22 or 24. I think there's been 6 so far of each. I don't do Chicago Med. I just never really was able to get into it, but I love these other two. And I've watched them from literally from the jump, from season one of each, I've been watching them. So once I think it comes back, they're on a little break. I think it's back towards the end of this month. I think it runs fairly consistently then, week by week. So I think once they get to like 8 or 9 episodes, I'll probably binge the lot and then watch the last couple as they come out. Right, what else is coming out on television this year? So released this week, The Gentlemen on Netflix, which is a spin-off of the 2019 Guy Ritchie movie. This has Teo James, Kayla Scodelario, best known for Skins, Daniel Ings, Jolie Richardson, Giancarlo Esposito, Vinnie Jones, Pierce Quigley, and Chanel Cresswell. Also, no, she's not Skins. She is This Is England. I really enjoyed the film, The Gentleman. So looking forward to this. Obviously, it's a different premise or slightly different premise. So taking a different angle on it, really looking forward to seeing that. The Reluctant Traveler with Eugene Levy, that released yesterday. The Oscars is on this week. What else have we got? We've got Manhunt coming up on Apple TV on the 15th of the month. If you're a Grey's Anatomy fan or a Station 19 fan, both from Shona Rhimes, those are coming out on the 14th of March. The Baxters on Prime Video on the 28th of March. Gentlemen in Moscow on the 29th. Renegade Nell on Disney on the 29th. And then Parish on AMC, which I've heard some good things about. It is a crime drama. Giancarlo Esposito is also in that. For those that aren't aware of who he is, he plays Gus Fring in Breaking Bad and in Better Call Saul. So he's pretty reliable in terms of delivering good stuff. So I'll be looking forward to that one. I did also recently watch the second season of Reacher and thoroughly enjoyed it. So if you haven't seen Reacher, season one is very good. Season two is very good as well. I don't think you need to have read the books. I've read all the books, but I don't think you need to have read the books to enjoy it. Palm Royale is a show coming out on Apple on the 20th of this month. So that might be one that some people would enjoy. Like I said, Renegade Nell, which is from the showrunner of Happy Valley, and promises to be pretty good. We have Three Body Problem coming as well, which is from the guys behind Game of Thrones. And it's very hotly anticipated. And it's out this month. So those three seem like the big ones. Parish, Three Body Problem, and Renegade Nell. And potentially Palm Royale as well. I don't know much about it. A Gentleman in Moscow is on Paramount. It's Ewan McGregor playing a Russian count banished to decades under house arrest. So that one could be good. Ewan McGregor is always entertaining. Early next month, we have the TV adaptation of, or adaption, no, adaptation, definitely adaptation, of The Talented Mr. Ripley, just called Ripley, and that is a Netflix series. There's a series called Sugar, Colin Farrell in the lead role. That is Apple TV. That is April 5th. Also April 5th, Mary and George, which is, by the looks of it, a period drama. It is very much a period drama. Fallout, coming April 12th from Prime. The Sympathizer, which looks really interesting. Robert Downey Jr. involved in this one. It's coming out on HBO on the 14th. Rebus in spring, doesn't have an exact date for us. So that one should be really good. That's obviously a BBC one, isn't it? So this is just a follow-on of a BBC one. There's a new season of Bridgerton, if that's your bag. The Bear, season 3, will be out in June. That is fantastic. And then Presumed Innocent, which looks like it's going to be great. It's Jake Gyllenhaal in the lead. And it is out June 14th. So very, very much looking forward to watching that. Then you've got House of the Dragon season two coming this summer. And then one that I've been really looking forward to, which is The Penguin. That is coming out, I believe, in July, autumn. So probably a bit later then. It was meant to be the summer, but it's been pushed back. Really looking forward to seeing this one. Again, it's Colin Farrell and reprising the role that he played in the 2022 film, The Batman. Very, very much looking forward to seeing that one. We're also going to get a TV series of Dune. Now, I've just rewatched the first one, was meant to go and watch the second one this week, haven't been able to. Trev wasn't able to either, but when we get the chance to see the second one, we'll do a two-part pod on the first one to recap for people, and on the second one with our thoughts on that. And I definitely think this is going to be one that we might do a pretty in-depth watch of when it comes around. The Boys season four also out this year. Industry season three, first two seasons, very, very good. Black Doves, starring Keira Knightley and Ben Whishaw and Sarah Lancashire, that's out this year. And then one that I think is going to probably be the biggest TV event of the year because of how big the first one was, we're getting The Squid Games season two. Umbrella Academy season four also out. The Diplomat season two also out. There's going to be a lot of big TV events this year. So lots to look forward to. We'll try and be with you every step of the way on a lot of these shows. And it should be fun. Now, in terms of film, we again have a lot to look forward to. There are some are blockbuster type of, you know, put your brain in a bucket, sit back and don't think, just enjoy type of jobbies. And I would put Godzilla versus Kong, The New Empire, or Godzilla X Kong, as it's been stylized. So looking forward to that one, to be able to switch off and just enjoy lunacy. Deadpool versus Wolverine, not as highly anticipated, obviously, without Hugh Jackman, but it should still be quite fun. Despicable Me 4 coming out this year. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. Really, really looking forward to this one. Now, this is obviously an origin story, so it is set before the last Mad Max film. So unfortunately, there's no Charlize Theron. This is Anna Joy Taylor with Chris Hemsworth, Charlie Fraser, and Tom Burke, who's always reliable. One I have been looking forward to is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I've really liked the last group of Planet of the Apes films. So looking forward to this one. We're getting the sequel to 2019's Joker with Joaquin Phoenix. So looking forward to that. There's a Garfield movie. Kung Fu Panda 4, if that's your bag. A Quiet Place Day One, which seems like it's going to be quite interesting. Lupita Nyong'o's in this one, Joseph Quinn, Alex Wolff. Experience the Day the World Went Quiet. So definitely one to look forward to. Kraven the Hunter, that's one I think a lot of people have been eyeing up for quite a while. Russell Crowe's involved in that one. Maybe the most controversial film of the year is going to be Gladiator 2, because, I mean, obviously, it's one of the great films of the last 50 years. One of the great films is the original. Ridley Scott is back as director, but obviously, it's not about Maximus. Denzel Washington, Pedro Pascal, Paul Mescal, and Connie Nielsen are the main cast for this one. It follows Lucius, son of Maximus's love, Lucia, after Maximus's death. So I am looking forward to it. I do think some people will be hoping it fails. I know Russell Crowe is probably one of them. I hope it's great. Bob Marley, One Love. friend of mine has seen this. He claims it's excellent. I'll definitely watch it. So looking forward to that one. There is Fall Guy, which is about a stuntman who leaves the business after a couple of bad accidents and has to come back in and deal with some other stuff. So looking forward to that one. Should be just one that you don't have to think about too much. There's another Spider-Man. This is another animated one from the Behind the Spider-Verse. Inside Out 2 is the latest offering from Pixar. The Tiger's Apprentice, another animated one. Sonic 3. I've actually enjoyed the first two. Idris Elba, Jim Carrey, James Marsden, and Kristen Ritter all back involved in this one. And then Venom 3. Tom Hardy, that one is also stated for this year. And then, because Hollywood can never do anything new, can never come up with a fresh idea, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. So the follow-up to the 1988 classic is coming this year. It is in post-production at the moment. Don't know when we can expect it. Jenna Ortega, who seems like the go-to right now, in the kind of horror slash comedy horror genre. Obviously, she did Wednesday. She did the Scream movies. She is the lead in this, along with Willem Dafoe. Winona Ryder back as well, and Monica Bellucci. There's a bunch of other stuff. There's a new Lion King movie that's currently being done. Another Mortal Kombat movie. There's Cruella 2, the follow-up to the 2021 film with Emma Stone, which should be decent. Maleficent 3. There's a Juliet film separated from Romeo, it appears. Lots of good stuff. Rush Hour 4. Was there not a Rush Hour 4 already? Did I not watch a Rush Hour 4? Should this not be Rush Hour 5? No, this is... I thought there'd been four of them. No, there was only three. Oh, you know what it was? There was meant to be a fourth one. And wasn't Brett Ratner found out to be a terrible gang of lads? And that's what pushed it back. Because he's basically kind of a pariah at this point. Oh, yeah, he's moved to Israel. He's a proper terrible gang of lads. Yeah, well, good enough for him. That's what happened. There was meant to be a fourth one and it got cancelled because of him. But it looks like this one will have Jackie Chan sort of leading the charge in terms of getting it made. There is also a Vin Diesel film called Muscle, which we can only imagine is going to be dreadful. Hellboy the Crooked Man. The last Hellboy film annoyed me so much, I don't think I'll watch this one. And then Bad Boys 4, which was recently, they wrapped filming on it in the last week or so. Will Smith, obviously. Mike Martin Lawrence, obviously. Vanessa Hudson and Alexander Ludwig also reprising their roles from the last one. I enjoyed the last one, I have to say. It wasn't as good as the first two, but I enjoyed it. So I'll watch this one, and I'll probably enjoy it. And that's it. That's where we stop, because I don't want to ramble too much. I did just want to get something out for people to listen to on their Saturday. Liverpool aren't playing till the Sunday, and hopefully some of you aren't Liverpool fans, and this Buzz podcast has moved beyond the Liverpool fandom. Trev will be back. He is just dealing with some health issues. He'll be back, and we'll get rolling again with two a week. We've just released, during this past week, obviously, the top 10, or our top 10 favorite TV cops. Some good ones in there. Some good ones in there. I'll give you a little bit of inside baseball. Our next one is going to be top 10 movie villains. Really looking forward to doing that one. We're going to do Silence of the Lambs as well. That would have been this podcast, but we couldn't record it. And there's going to be, so that'll be pushed back. And then there's going to be a few more that we've got lined up. And then obviously there's going to be big TV stuff where we will do what we did with True Detective Night Country. And if you haven't heard that, I do please ask that you go and you listen to those. There are seven podcast to go with the 6 episodes of the TV show. We did episode by episode breakdown in depth. Plenty of spoilers, so if you haven't seen the show, make sure you watch the show first. If you haven't seen the show, watch an episode, listen to the pod, watch the next, listen to the pod, so on and so forth. And then you will have episode 7, which is basically just a wrap-up for us. So do please go and listen to all of those. And fingers crossed, we are back in business in a couple of days. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.